Hello, everybody. I'm Katie Gannaway, and you are tuned in to Arts Underground. Today, we have three special guests, all of whom are champions of cinematic excellence and oddness. We are going to discuss how they work together and individually to broaden Huntsville's knowledge of film and what that means to them. So let's go around and learn your names, the film showing events that you created, and what kind of movies you typically screen for our community.
I'm KB Singer. I host a few things, Throwback Cinema and Rewind Cinema, and now Art House Cinema over at Shenanigans Comedy Theater. Throwback is just a general, usually a 90s or aughts-ish film. Maybe we might dip into the 80s. I don't know what's going on. Rewind is kind of the same thing, but it's always on VHS. And then The Art House Cinema is a new thing I've added this year for stuff that I don't have on tape that is more in the indie space. And I'm very excited about that.
So I am Josh Josie. I run Schlockbuster Presents, the newest movie experience in Huntsville right now. We run out at Campus 805 once a month. We usually do B movies, things that people haven't heard of, gore, horror, action. That's why it's called Schlock, because it's the lesser known movies.
I'm Rob Fries. My movie show is at the Madison Public Library, the Mad Movie-a-thon-a-rama.
I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of encompasses the types of movies that I like to show, which are like those drive-in blood-a-ramas, the motorcycle-a-thons. But my sweet spot, though, is 60s, 70s, and 80s. But we show, you never know what you're going to get. I can show action. And when I say action, I mean like it could be a kung fu movie. It could be a road race movie. I show all kinds of weird horror movies and comedies. And every movie that I show, I try to devise some kind of gimmick. And that's to theaters used to do that. And they used to be a little bit more interactive. And I think that's kind of what we're all kind of doing, is trying to remind people how much fun it can be going to the movies.
This is for anybody or everybody. What is it like to fall in love with cinema?
What? I mean, I've loved cinema my whole life. So I think...
This is KB.
Oh, yeah. It is me. I can't really pinpoint. It's like it's just always been something I've connected to. I think I recently kind of was discovering about myself that a reason I love movies so much is because they very clearly often indicate how you're supposed to feel about something, which is something I didn't realize I had difficulty with until later in life. And it was like, oh, well, the reason I love movies is because Steven Spielberg says, here comes this music. So now you are sad about E.T. And now you're happy about E.T. There's a lot about E.T. going. I think, well, E.T. was probably the first movie that I really clocked. Yeah. It's like going to see. And it was a little bit scary because I was six, four. What year? 82? I was four. I'm giving away my age. Anyway, it's been a lifelong love affair, I guess, between me and E.T. and everyone who came after that.
Josh, right?
Yeah, I know the exact moment, I can tell you.
This is Josh.
When, I think it was 87 when Monster Squad came out. I was six.
Oh, Monster Squad.
And my dad took me and my sister to a mall theater, which was always the thing, was the mall theater. And right when they find the amulet, it was storming outside and the power went out and it scared the life out of me. And I just remember like that was the end. That was Dracula found the amulet. The world's over. And it's just been a chase for, almost 40 years now, trying to find that feeling again that I had that day in the theater. And I think that's really what movies encompass. Like you're chasing that childhood feeling, trying to regain it back. So when you find that, sometimes it's just a really cool feeling. I think that's what it comes down to, is like sharing that feeling with other people in a theater.
Yeah, for me, I've always loved movies, and I was always like that weird kid that I didn't have to be out around friends. I could sit and play with Micronauts or Star Wars or whatever. and then, of course, just getting to stay up and watch movies was always awesome. My big moment that I've been chasing for going on 50 years was sneaking in to see Friday the 13th, the final chapter, with my friends, because we were 13, 14. And so, like, we were right there. Sometimes they wouldn't sell you a ticket to an R-rated movie. But, I mean, I don't think anybody in the theater was much younger than 20. But it was like we got to do this thing, like, with the big kids. And we felt like we were like we were grown up. And we got in there, and we screamed and carried on. I'm really, like I'm really surprised they didn't call a SWAT team to come in. And I don't mean, like, me and my friends. I mean an entire theater reacting to everything on screen. And that was such an amazing, I mean, like, Scream kind of did that in the the mid-90s. But people have kind of, I mean, like, now you can't make a noise because you're going to bother somebody on their phone, you know? That power of being in collectively with a bunch of people, strangers that you don't know, you're all kind of bound together now on this journey, and you survive it.
KV, you create an event calendar that has all these movie showings on there.
Yes.
Can you talk about some of the collaborators for that? Oh, you have a physical calendar. Shake it.
It is.
There's proof.
It is here. I do. and I started doing this because I hail from Southern California, the little known home of cinema. We know this. And, you know, so I was used to these, you know, these rep theaters that would put out these calendars that would say, here's what we're doing and here's all this stuff. When I learned that Rob was doing the screenings at the library, I was like, well, we should put all this stuff on one calendar, because that way people can look at the calendar as you used to do, open the newspaper and say what's playing where. I was like, well, there's multiple people in town doing these events.
Yeah.
So why not put them together on one piece of paper or digitally so that people can go, oh, you know what? Hey, I haven't seen Sister Act in 25 years, or I've never heard of Treasure of the Four Crowns, so I'd better go and see it. Playing
in 3D.
In 3D, nonetheless.
Yes, okay. We will be watching that in electric 3D.
Is it like the red and blue glasses? What has it been like starting each of your showings and creating a community out of that?
My whole thing started similar to what Josh is doing with Schlockbuster, which was that I had all these weird action movies on VHS. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't want to watch these by myself. I want to watch these in a room full of people. So I was trying to do a secret movie night thing. For me, it was hit or miss on the nights. And I kind of discovered I should tell people what the movie is. And I've reshaped a little bit based on what the folks who are coming out to my stuff, what they want to do. And what they want to do is watch 90s movies together, and that's totally fine with me. But that's kind of how it started, and then I'd been doing that for a few months, and then when the new Twister movie was coming out, we had some weather scientists who said, hey, could we show Twister before the movie comes out so we can all experience, and I know Rob also screened it over in Madison.
Awesome.
And the thing about that was, when you talk about a movie like Twister, I'm like, well, surely everyone has seen Twister, but no, like, I have news for us, we're not the youngest people in the room anymore. Right. So, you know, when I get, you know, the Gen Z crowd coming in going, I've never seen this. And I'm like, well, thank you for coming and seeing it on a big screen and having it be loud and large and an experience, because this is how it should be watched. It was made to be experienced in a room full of people with your kind of hair blowing back a little bit and and the suspense of it all. So
were there fans?
Like, no, we should have had. No, but the guy who has the Twister truck did show up. There's a guy who has the...
With the Dorothy in the back?
Yeah, oh. He, like, shows up to the Twister screenings, and he just rolled in with his truck, and I was like, wow. Yeah. So my stuff's kind of grown out of that initial just desire to share movies with people.
I think I also want to hear from each of you the audiences that you have attracted. Like, have you converted anybody from going and seeing, like, standard blockbusters in the theater to something like at Schlockbuster or Mad Movie Athonorama?
Yeah, I think that it's hard to tell for me, just because it's, you know, when it started, it was an online thing, Instagram, just getting followers, telling people what was going on. And then the first showing, you kind of see familiar faces that you've met over the past couple of months. And then the next month, you kind of see familiar faces that you've met over the next couple of months. But, you know, everybody seems really appreciative. A lot of people have oh, I've heard of that movie, but I haven't seen it, or...
Well, it's good to have that community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's the big thing is just people in our age range, I think, you know, remember that feeling of going to the theater.
Like Gen X, millennial.
Yeah, type. For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we want to go and have that communal experience. We want to go see these movies that we've heard about on a big screen instead of sitting in our house by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Watching it and then telling friends, oh, have you seen this? Well, you should watch it. And then their friend watches it by themselves. Mm-hmm. So why not just all get together at the same time and, you know, have a good experience. And that's kind of what it became, was just, you know, I want to show movies that A, maybe I haven't heard of before and just found out about, or B, movies that I've know about and love that people haven't maybe seen before. And that's the hope out of all this, is that maybe people start being more adventurous.
There's a huge value in what we're doing because there's never been an alternative other than the big blockbusters coming out to see them with people, unless you have a movie club and you get together and go to somebody's house, mm-hmm. which that can be, you know, I've done that for years, had fun mm-hmm. doing that. But to have a destination, a place, the library, it was very slow going. And I was picking some really weird movies that no one had ever heard of, like Zero Hour. Like, nobody had any idea what that was. I'm like, how do you not know what this is? This is the movie that Airplane copied. And they're like, what? Airplane? Airplane. And I'm like, yeah, but they play it serious. And so, like, just by that, I started getting some curious people. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to keep them on their toes as far as, you know, I don't want to show the same stuff over and over again, but I don't know that anyone's getting converted. Like, I don't see anybody who's turning their nose up to going to see Wicked if that's what they want to go see. And I don't begrudge them. Go see movies at the theater. That's just good, you know. They definitely know going to our collective screenings that there's a lot of different movies out there. And some, I think the movies that we're all showing are definitely more of a group event, you know. Yeah. I think that you just have more fun with what we're showing when you see it, because movies today are kind of being made differently, you know, after the pandemic and everyone's streaming. Movies are kind of started being made for a different kind of experience, where you maybe watch it on your laptop. Well, I'm not from that generation. I don't do that. I'm Friday the 13th Part 3, where we scream until we're hoarse at Jason to chop those teenagers up into taco filling, you know. We just, you know, I love that reaction, because I think films, again, are that powerful. I just think that it's a different, like, this was something that wasn't available when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I wish it had been, because it seems like people appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
You know, they appreciate being able to go somewhere and you know, just have a good time and not have to worry about anything.
Do any of you have a story about a movie that you showed that just, like, really made an impact on your audience?
Yes.
Okay, Rob.
One of my favorite filmmakers is John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so one of the movies of his that I've shown was Assault on Precinct 13. And they were not – there's a moment in the movie where it turns into the movie that it is, with – the little girl from Escape from Witch Mountain getting shot by a gang member.
Oh, goodness.
And they did not know how to react to that. And we did talk about that after the movie. You know, they felt like it gave the movie its whole reason for being, which that scene is the reason why the father goes after the gang. And then the gang chases the father, and they get to the closed down precinct. And they really liked it. I never know how people are going to react.
I mean, I would say that we showed Tokyo Gore Police in January.
Oh, Lord.
Which, you know, it speaks for itself. It's a foreign movie about, you know, privatized police. And it's just, I mean, shot in 2 weeks, gallons upon gallons of blood. It's just a crazy movie. And, you know, when I first saw it, I like to watch movies in the original language. So I watched it subtitled. But I wasn't sure how it was going to play in the theater setting. And, you know, I just went ahead and went with a dubbed version so people wouldn't have to worry about subtitles and things like that. Mm. And I was amazed at how completely different the movie played. Like, it was just full-on comedy and people just laughing and cheering. And, you know, I had a different reaction the first time I watched it because I watched it in the native language, so it plays a lot more serious, mm-hmm. even though it is a movie about, you know, just people getting chopped up and spurting everywhere.
Taco meat.
So it was interesting afterwards to talk to people about how they felt differently about it than I did.
As someone who had not seen it before, I loved the wild dub version. It was just, I'm a person who will go to a movie and often laugh at parts that people don't like, that they're not clocking as humorous, but mm-hmm. like, you know, there's absurdity in so many things. Like, especially I feel like in Ari Aster films, like there's beats that I think are really funny because they're these juxtaposed moments. And like other people are like, that's not something like that, that I think is taking something that may be more serious in the original mm-hmm. intended presentation. And then you, when you just shift that thing, and it comes off over the top and like more wild than maybe it was intended to be. I had a blast with it. It was very fun.
I think that's the goal, is to get people in to watch movies that they probably yeah. wouldn't have watched yeah. otherwise.
What do you keep in mind when you select movies?
This weekend I had an issue with the licensing for our April film. So I did a lot of quote-unquote research this weekend trying to find a new movie. And it's just, you want the audience to be engaged in what you're watching. You want, I personally want people to leave and say, you know, maybe it wasn't mind blowing, but they had a fun time. I don't want them to sit through an hour and a half of just, you know, something that's a snooze fest. Mm-hmm. So just watching a lot of these movies and trying to keep on brand to, you know, an 80s horror movie that's fast pace and has good gore and, you know, it's funny. It's just, it's like finding a needle in a haystack sometimes. So, and then to be like, that's something that they haven't seen before, you know, those movies exist, but they're cult favorites for a reason.
So you can't just pick it off your shelf and say, here you go, this is my favorite. Hope you like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how I operate.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
I've watched a lot of crap over the past couple of months. And it's I think that's just not being scared to sit through an hour and a half of a bad movie. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's maybe it wasn't for me, but somebody's going to love it, you know? Mm-hmm. It was made for a reason.
Yeah.
KB, you said that that is how you operate.
And to some extent. Because I was trying to do the more obscure stuff, and just the people that were coming out, they weren't really primed for that. And when we did the when we did the Twister screening, the turnout was so strong that I was like, "Well, do you people just want to watch the hits? Because that's fine. Like, I'm into that. So let's try." So we did Independence Day the next month and had a huge crowd of people coming. I say huge, just like, but like a good amount of people. It was not 1,000 people, but it was a
well, the theater can't hold 1,000 people.
Was comfortably full.
Yeah,
and I had young people who had never seen Independence Day before. And I was like, what are you talking about? This movie came out 5 years ago. No, it didn't. It came out like 30 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like 5 years ago until you like do the math.
But I was like, you know, it's like, well, you're talking about like probably the biggest action movie of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing it for the first time. So for me right now, for those throwback screenings, I'm looking at stuff that's like, okay, what are the kind of the classics in some respect that I feel like everybody has seen, but when I think about it, well, this movie is 25, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And so what I often will do is, okay, if I'm playing a movie that came out in 1995, okay, well, we're 30 years away from that. So this is like me showing a movie from 1965 if it were 95. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to kind of pull from what's going to be recognizable enough for someone to go, oh, yo, I've never seen that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that's how they spoke about it, but that's
fine.
I've never seen that. Which might be my reaction, and then want to come out for it. And on top of that, to also have someone go, I love Sister Act, which is, was the last one I just showed.
Yes.
To have people come out and go, you know what, I haven't seen Sister Act in a theater, or I haven't seen Sister Act in a long time, or I just watched Sister Act last week and it's time again for my weekly viewing, whatever it is. You know, and then I have, you know, those screenings are in the bigger theater, and the black box space, which is much smaller, I'm trying to use that for the stuff that's maybe or is certainly lesser known, so that we can kind of still fill that space. But if it's 12 people filling that space, it feels like a good crowd. Whereas 12 people in the big theater feels like a mistake. the space to venue helps determine what I'm choosing.
As far as choosing movies for the library, I can pretty much pick anything within reason. A lot of people think library, they're probably going to be showing like
sleepers.
Art movies or in certainly at our main building, there's different movie programs. If the people coming to the show only watch blockbusters, what can I show them to let them know that there's other stuff out there? And so I try to find something that's would be of interest to anybody. And I think for the most part it works. For Roger Corman's birthday one year, we showed Five Guns West, which isn't the type of movie you would consider Roger Corman, but it was the first one he directed, and we had a birthday party, and that was another one where I deputized everybody since that was what the movie was about, and I gave everybody a Western mustache, and most people wore the mustache through the movie.
Which I would have worn the mustache.
Yeah, it was awesome. Really impressive. And then a couple weeks later, somebody came back, and they're like, you know, I was flipping through, and I found something. I'd never heard of it before, but I recognized Roger Corman's name. It was Rock and Roll High School, and I watched it, and it wasn't bad.
Oh, I love Rock and Roll High School.
So, I mean, like, I feel like my work is done. Like, if I can encourage somebody to watch Rock and Roll High School where they wouldn't have watched it before because they didn't know anything about it. So, yeah, I try to just pick stuff, and I don't necessarily pick the best. Anyone will tell you. I hyped up one of the beach movies with Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello, chose the one that they weren't in. Ghost in the Invisible Bikini. Yeah. And they still bring that up. That was like 2.5 years ago, and they'll still say, well, that movie still wasn't as bad as Ghost in the Invisible Bikini. I'm like, how do you remember that?
I said this the other day. There's no bad movies, only the wrong audience. So there's a movie for somebody.
Yeah.
Like it was made for a reason. And somebody somewhere likes it. And it's probably somebody's favorite. Like, what is it? Ghost in the
Bikini? Ghost in the Invisible Bikini.
That's probably somebody's favorite movie.
I doubt that.
Saw it online and they were like, I can't believe Madison Library is showing this movie and I live in Alaska and can't make it down for it. Like,
goodness.
So it's who knows?
Well, that's why they like it, because it's like a beach movie. And
it's a hit among the Alaskan crowd.
There was technically no beach. It all took place in a haunted house.
Oh, wow.
How is that? So Alaska, how far a reach have you heard?
Theoretically.
Somebody in Alaska, his favorite movie is possibly Ghost in the Invisible Bikini.
I'll do some research and get back and see if I can find that person.
Give me the stats, Josh. Yeah. No.
Well, we do that research in other libraries. It's amazing what some other libraries show on their movies, and so.
Did you have to take that into consideration?
No, just somebody said, well, this one library in somewhere in Indiana was showing Cannibal Holocaust. Are you going to show Cannibal Holocaust? I'm like, no,
I will never
show Cannibal Holocaust. Anyway,
so, yeah, I think that's for us too. You know, there's another group out of Birmingham. TVs of Terror, and they do a lot of the same stuff that I like to show. So I do want to go back and kind of see what they did and try not to do repeats, because I would like people from, you know, I know people from here drive to Birmingham to watch movies, and I would love for people to Birmingham to say, hey, this is playing Huntsville this weekend.
Yeah.
I'd like to go and watch that. So
there's somebody developing independent cinema.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's exactly, well, I'm not going to say exactly. I think it's going to be a lot like Sidewalk films
in Birmingham.
I think it's going to be an independent cinema that shows a little bit of everything, just from what little I know. Their tagline is.
Yeah, from what I understand about it, is they're still forming what they're doing. So I think it's
like Kickstarter phase.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So I guess the thing would be is,
Coming soon. Express
what you would like to see so that any one of us doing any one of these things can say, oh, hey, there's a strong interest in this or that. So that there's maybe a fear that this is going to get too congested. And I don't think I think that unless every single one of us is showing a movie every single night of the month at the same exact time, you know, that we're not. Listen, again, once upon a time, we used to open that newspaper and there'd be, you know, a half a dozen theaters across the city playing something different, and you look at it and you choose, and there's between Huntsville and Madison, about 500,000 people spread out probably. So we can't fit all those people in one space. So I think we can no matter who's showing what where, hopefully one of us has something that somebody wants to see
right.
that night or that week or that month. And we can, there's plenty of room, there's plenty of movies, and we can't all show them all. So
no, we're trying.
So the last question that I have, well, second to last, why should people watch movies outside of their comfort zone, outside of their normal consumption? What does that mean to you when people go outside of their comfort zone and seek movies they've never seen before?
Because that's how you learn about things that are not your experience. That's how you, it's also how you understand what you do and don't like. If you only watch stuff that you know you're going to like, you're not going to develop a palate for, mm-hmm. For anything else. And I say that as someone who, I don't know, probably the first couple decades of my life, I probably stayed in a pretty mainstream lane because I wasn't allowed to kind of go outside, except I still would find ways. I'd find ways, like
right,
on TV,
right.
they showed weird thrillers that I probably wasn't supposed to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
I realized the other day, there's this Klaus Kinski movie called Crawl Space that mm-hmm. I saw like in a TV edit on some Saturday afternoon. That like, I was like, how did I see that movie? I guess it was just on TV. It was the 80s or 90s or something. So mm-hmm. they were less concerned about what they were showing us. but I think it's really important because I think that's how you develop empathy and understanding and how you
right.
can grow personally. And I think we kind of get fixated on the part about everyone watching movies at home, mm-hmm. which is a thing to discuss. But the reality is all of us grew up in the video store era. We watched plenty of movies at home. We watched plenty of movies on TV. We rented stuff, we watched it alone or maybe with a couple of friends. The difference, though, is I think the act of seeking out something to watch versus I'm just going to open up Netflix, I'm going to put something on, I don't really care what it is, I'm going to play whatever the hot game is right now on my phone. I was going to say Candy Crush, but that's like so 2015. but, you know, I think it's more so about the intent of like I'm going to seek out something to watch or I'm going to hear about something that sounds interesting. And then, but also the cover of the calendar says cinema is social. I mean, cinema is a social experience. That's the actual quote I put on there. Because I do think it's important to go and see something, and especially something you haven't experienced with other people, and then to have that wave of reaction, you know, whether it's a dozen people or 200 people,
mm-hmm.
it is very different than watching something at home. And whenever I hear someone say, I hated this movie, I ask, how did you watch it? Did you watch it on your phone or on streaming and you were doing three other things at the same time? Or did you actively go to the theater and you watched it and you just didn't like what the movie is? What
mm-hmm.
did you not like it because you didn't get all the information of the movie, or did you not like it because it just wasn't for you? Because it's okay not to like something.
Yeah.
But also I think going and seeing things that maybe don't resonate with us teaches us like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to maybe seek out this director again on purpose, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but maybe you'll go see something else by that person and it'll be your favorite movie. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's really important to allow yourself that experience, which is why it's helpful when we have movies that are 90 minutes or less, because when it's a 3-hour epic, movies shouldn't feel like a homework assignment.
Exactly.
Because
right.
that's, I think, where we get, you know, mm-hmm. it's like with the Oscars coming, it's like, I really would like to see all the Best Picture nominees, but when they have over a 2.5-hour runtime.
It feels yep. like work at that point.
Yes. You got to block out 40 hours yeah. just to see yeah. the top 10. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting you say, like, watch it like a different way if you didn't like it the first time because it was on your phone or something. It seems like when you try a food that you tried as a young kid, mm-hmm. as an adult, and then you're like, oh, wait, I actually like pineapple or
yeah.
banana or whatever. You know, maybe it's the same thing.
There's definitely movies I've gone back over time and watched again and been like, oh, I actually like this now.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd say what your tastes change with food every 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's no telling, you know, the person you were when you were 20 versus the person you are when you're 40,
mm-hmm.
like how you'll react to a movie.
You can appreciate something better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important too, is like, we were in such a culture where we're being told what we're supposed to like and shown what we're supposed to like. And we're, you know, this commercial for this movie and these ad campaigns. And I think sometimes people forget there's this whole, you know, we've been in cinema, what, 120 years now? Like there's so much out there. Like I just watched Phantom of the Opera for the first time this
mm-hmm.
weekend and it was mind blowing. Like, you know, there's just so much out there to appreciate. And if you're not actively seeking that stuff out and being just told what you like and don't like, it makes it really hard for you to, like KB said, experience different things, look at things from a different view. There's something out there for everybody, and I don't think that just staying on that path to popular, I guess, is the best thing. And if you're comfortable in that, then that's fine. But I think it helps all of us when you kind of branch out from that a little bit.
One thing that I've noticed is some of the younger people, and when I say younger people, my program is an adult program, so we kind of want to keep it 19 and up. So 19, 20, 21, 22, young people compared to me. One dude, just one time after the movie, he came up to me and his eyes are wide and he's very excited. And he's like, I didn't even know they made movies like this. This movie was amazing. And he just went on. He's like, I hate black and white. And I never knew that you could do this with a black and white movie. And his mind was blown and he's asking for other titles of movies like this. It was the brain that wouldn't die. About the woman's head that's kept alive. And then there's the thing in the closet. And I just think, oh my God, come here, let me show you. There's a whole world of awesome stuff. And that even, you know, that even I realized that's me too. I've never watched a whole lot of silent movies and recently watched The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, this twist ending I've seen a million times. This is the first time I've seen this twist ending with the new car smell on it. This was probably the first movie that did it. So, I mean, there's just so much to discover. And I'm huge into the 80s, and I'm constantly finding movies that I never heard of that are awesome. There's all these movies that from the video age that went right to tape in the 90s that, I mean, they were made to go to tape. And then they played – like on Rhonda Shear's Up All Night, yes. or Commander USA's groovy movie on Saturday afternoon, and then they just disappeared, and a lot of them are only available on VHS, which I'm sure you have a ton of those.
That's what I look for, that stuff. Also, Rhonda Shear's Up All Night, there is stuff I saw on that I have no idea what the movies were, and they're burned into my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly like, when I come across something, I'm like, is this the movie that had this scene in it? And it won't, I don't know. There's still stuff floating out there that I'm like, what was this? It was such an experience because I grew up in such a conservative household. Mm-hmm. So we weren't supposed to watch horror or, you know, anything that was like, had any sex undertones to it. We're kind of like, we don't look at that. And I was like, what is this? Rhonda Shear and her, like, it was like, and I'd be slightly disappointed when it was like the Gilbert Gottfried nights, and I was like, but there was, the movies were still great, but like, that was a gateway into a lot of this schlocky
right
cinema that I just didn't know that world existed until I saw those films in that context. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rhonda Shear, for
100%
that introduction to a certain brand of cinema.
How can people find out online where they can catch your next showings?
I post all of this. I post the same calendar on my social media at KBS VHS. Mm-hmm. That's Facebook and Instagram. I'm also now on Blue Sky. If you're trying to gravitate that direction, I will be more responsible about posting that stuff over there.
Yeah, all of our stuff is on Schlockbuster Presents on Instagram. I try to update Facebook. I'm not good with it.
I'm not a
Facebook lady. I can't imagine adding Blue Sky into this, but I'm going to try because I've had people request it now. So the main place is going to be Instagram for right now. And I do hang flyers around town, places like the video store, KB store, local breweries, things like that. So if you see a neon flyer, that's usually me.
HMCPL.org. You go to events and find the Mad Movie-a-thon-a-rama, and I put a description of the movie in my own words. So I'm not copying it from anywhere, so that's where all that weird verbiage is coming from. It's my brain. There's a link to the IMDb page so you can see a little bit more about the movie, and then a link to the trailer.
thank you all for joining me today. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.